This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
You know, ultimately, like, you know, there was no move that was a single player would have brought that back, and I wouldn't have made the impact that we would have needed to do it. So, yeah, I mean, it's clearly, you know, whether it's in this offseason or in the past, I think, you know, certainly we've moved top prospects, but, you know, that's the calculus that we have to make is, you know, is ultimately what is the impact this is making and what is the, you know, how many wins are we losing going forward?
That was Jed Hoyer, as we know. The Cubs, of course, taking on the Blue Jays tonight here in 670 The Score. You can hear that right here. Of course, Pat Ron and Zach Zaidman have that call. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And we have to examine a quote that has made the rounds from Carter Hawkins. It has incensed some people, to say the least. And I feel like it's only picked up steam since we've seen what's happened with the Cubs' recent performances.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to be a dramatic pause.
No, I didn't know if you had found what you were looking for. Sorry.
No. He says, and this was to ESPN, it's hard when you see other teams you're competing with get really good players, but those aren't decisions you're making in the moment. They're decisions you're making over the course of the week and the month. This isn't referring to the trade deadline. It takes some discipline, especially in a moment when you see things moving that way, but we were able to stick to our approach and felt really good about the additions that we were able to make. Teams are trying to find that guy that can lock down the eighth or ninth inning, but that also costs a lot. That costs a lot of future wins. We have a responsibility to the 2025 Cubs, but also to the 2032 Cubs. That's not always popular in the moment, but it's decisions we have to make. Then why did you trade for Kyle Tucker?
They traded for Kyle Tucker because they knew they weren't good enough to make the playoffs based on what they had last year.
But is that a move that helps the 2032 Cubs, or is that a move that helps the 2025 Cubs?
It is definitely a move that helps specifically the 2025 Cubs, especially knowing that he is going to be a free agent from the moment you trade for him, and that there's nothing you can do because you've never signed a player to a contract worth $200 million, let alone, I don't know, $400 or $500 million.
But I say that saying, this is contradictory to the lane you chose in this offseason. You put yourself in this position. You decided this was your go for a year. You have this time that's guaranteed. What are we down to? 2.5 months of the regular season? You have 2.5 months of the regular season there guaranteed with Kyle Tucker.
Layla.
After that, it's anybody else's guess as to what happens.
It's only a month and a half.
A month and a half.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, like, you don't even have 2.5 months.
I don't know what day it is anymore.
You got 45 games.
Yeah, there it is, right? So you have that much time left with Kyle Tucker. And at the time you said this, you probably had 2 months. But the point is, that's it. So you decided that this was your go for it year. At what point did you decide it wasn't your go for it year? You have a team that is a buzzsaw breathing down your neck 90 miles an hour up the road, who can do nothing wrong right now. Andrew Vaughn is somehow making the biggest difference in this division. You could argue that the Reds made more selective trade deadline choices than you did when they got guys like Zach Littell, Ke'Bryan Hayes. They acquired specific needs who are still productive for their team right now. At what point did you decide the 2032 Cubs needed to factor into your 2025 decision? Additionally, let's go back to 2021 when you traded Yu Darvish for, at the time, what was pretty much four teenagers. One of them was Owen Casey. Which team were you thinking about then? Would it theoretically be the one that's online right now? Where did those wins go? That's my point in this. You had to pick a lane. You picked one. And now is this you saying that this isn't what you wanted to do? Are you going to be here in 2032?
I think what happened was the Cubs overestimated how good they were based on them finally living up to this, we can win in the margins as if we are a mid-market team by having players exceed expectations. It really goes back to that quote. by the president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, when he talked about we needed guys to exceed the expectations of what they had done previously. And what you're seeing right now in real time, Layla, is guys who have regressed back to the mean of their careers. And when I talk about guys like that, I'm talking about the Carson Kellys of the world. I'm talking about the, not Kyle Tucker, that's a different story, but certainly the Dansby Swansons of the world, certainly the Seiya Suzukis of the world, who all of a sudden has a 2.1 war on the season. You're talking about guys like Ian Happ, who's had a disappointing season. And really, you can just look at what's happened in the last 30 days that sums up where the Cubs are offensively. And that's why when you expect what you expect of them, and yes, you could say right now that Kyle Tucker is slumping. He's not playing up to what he's done his entire career. And he may regress back to his mean, which is being a 5-6 war player. But even if he does that, you're depending on a lot of other guys, Seiya Suzuki, as I mentioned, Swanson, Ian Happ to a degree. You're depending on a lot of other guys, Michael Bush, to play their best seasons of baseball they've ever played. And when you look at what they did at the deadline, they were just thinking, we're in the mix and we're happy to be in the mix. You know who this reminds me of? This whole thing. Whether it's what Jed Hoyer said, whether it's what Kelly said just recently. Carter Hawkins just recently. It's giving Jerry DePoto in the 54%.
Jerry DePoto, who traded for Eugenio Suarez and has the AL MVP candidate?
That's what he did now. But a couple of years ago, do you remember when he famously said, hey, we're just trying to win 54% of our games and be in the mix. That's better than going all out to win a World Series. Now, here's what I'll say about Jerry DePoto. He seemingly has learned his lesson from that track of thinking.
I think at some point he knew he had to do something to change the course of his team's outlook. When you had the Astros wrecking shop in that division and then you had the Rangers pick up where the Astros left off. Yeah, that was his thought process at the time. But even they decided this was the year they needed to do some more. They decided that this was the year they were going to go for it. And what did they do? They got Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez. Like that was how they backstopped it. And here's the other thing is, yes, we always talk about the expectation to outplay your back of the baseball card, or people are going to have to overperform. It was the manager, Craig Counsell, who said to us when he got hired that players are going to underperform. And typically at the deadline, you're acquiring players to fill in gaps on your team, to pick up for injury, to try to help a slumping lineup. The past 2 years for the Cubs, it was a third base decision they had to make because that was a position that wasn't producing as well offensively as they wanted. And in those moments, I didn't think that they were thinking about that too. I understand that you don't want to bankrupt your farm system. But then I think about the GMs who have the reputation of doing so, like a Dave Dombrowski, for example, and how many World Series and playoff appearances does he have to his name?
Dave,
it's Major League Baseball. This isn't the Minor League Baseball Championship Series.
It's not the collect as many assets as you can, like it's Pokemon, because it's not. It's not.
Gotta catch them all.
What you got to do is give yourself a fighting chance when the playoffs start. I think the Cubs are still going to the playoffs. The question is going to be, what are they going to do when they get there?
Please tell me that your goal is still to win the NL Central, because that means that you need to be a 95-win team now.
Yeah, 90 is not going to be enough to win the Central. 90 will get you into the playoffs, though.
But that's the other part of this. It's not like you didn't see the freight train coming. And frankly, sometimes you should make certain decisions, not scared, but understanding what the market is.
Since the All-Star break, this team's 10-11. That's a sub-500 record. Not a 500 record, a sub-500 record. In that time, you've got exactly one player on the roster right now who has an OPS over 800. You can guess who that player is.
Over that time?
Yes.
Then it's Matt Shaw.
Yeah, it's Matt Shaw. He's 1.119 OPS. Everybody else, sub-800. That's not good enough.
And I think part of this is when you make the spendy trade, then you are giving up an expensive price. When you trade for a guy like Kyle Tucker, you're trading a lot of your high-value cards there in your Cam Smith and your Hayden Wesneski and Isak Paredes, who was having an all-star season. It's not cheap, and I understand that part of it. But the concept of you just making one of those wasn't going to get it done.
It's not just that it wasn't going to get it done. It's just that you're depending on everyone else to keep doing what they've been doing that at the time had them at the top of baseball. The Cubs were right there alongside any other team. And to be honest, it's not like the Brewers went out here and made a big move at the trade deadline. They did not. But they were going in the right direction already heading into that deadline.
Because they knew what their assets were, who were going to be healthy, and they had a reasonable timeline and expectation as to when they were going to come online.
Brandon Woodruff. And they've lost guys even since then.
Right.
But they've still been able to get hot, stay hot, and now they've got their second, you know, double-digit win streak.
But you can't just chalk it up to luck, what they're doing. It's been too productive too many times, too consistently. And they talk about their process, and we've heard other reporters discuss how they know how to use their talent. And to see Andrew Vaughn doing what he's doing and just be a completely reinvented player who frankly lived up to his first-round pedigree potential, you've got to understand that they are doing something that you don't see here in this town. And I'm saying that for both sides of town when I'm talking about Andrew Vaughn.
So we have a Cubs front office with Carter Hawkins, the general manager, talking about thinking about the 2032 Cubs and the responsibility to them when trying to make the adjustments in the middle of the 2025 season here on Raheem and Harris. And I'll say this, back to your question, why did they go get Kyle Tucker if they're worried about 2032? Because he's only here for one season. Two reasons. One, they knew they weren't good enough to make the playoffs with what they had last year. Two, they were coming up on a contract year, as in the front office itself, as in Jed Hoyer. This was the last year of his contract. Now he's been extended, so I guess he can start thinking about 2032. Remember the timing of that announcement before the trade deadline that Jed Hoyer had been extended?
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I think it's because he's been here so long and he was part of a known front office group for so long, not just here, but in Boston as well, that I don't consider that as part of this. I don't think that it was just get the extension mentality for him. And he's been asked about it. He talked to Danny Parkins about it, by the way, just in case you had forgotten that. That was something that was brought up. Danny asked him about whether or not his extension had something to do with this. And you could tell in the answer. You always want to win. It's just a matter of what he was allowed to work with, too. I'm not making excuses for him. But when it came to being motivated, I think that that was part of it. I want to know at what point the game changed for this team. Was it June? Was it the 13-13 month of June where they decided they had to be a little bit more conservative with how many prospects they were going to give up? Because they told us the entire time before the trade deadline for 6 weeks that this was going to be a seller's market. And it proved to be that way, so much so that Jed Hoyer had said that there were pitchers that they thought were going to be available who weren't. The guy we thought was the most likely to go in Sandy Alcantara did not. But there were still other acquisitions that were out there to be made. That's why I brought up the Reds, for example. And unfortunately for them, yeah, Willy Castro has been a savvy pickup. I'm not saying that wasn't. But the problem is, it's what you're adding to already. You know, they've talked so much about diversification of a lineup and diversification of the roster since the quote about the offense being broken. And while I appreciate it all, I'm still trying to figure out why it's a multi-system organ failure when your one slugger goes down.
The one slugger you're speaking of is Kyle Tucker, and you feel like his disappearance has affected everybody in the lineup, and it's all...
Yes!
I know, listen, Kyle Tucker is definitely the fulcrum of this offense. He is the lever with which everything else operates. That's been proven by what's gone wrong since he's gone down in production, since he's posted an OPS since the All-Star break of 690 with a slug of 302. The on base is still there because he's going to walk. He's got a great strike zone awareness, 388 on base. But a 302 slug out of Kyle Tucker since the All-Star break? That's insane.
I mean, but the point is you can go back to the 1st of July. That's when this started.
Right.
He had one home run the entire month of July. He doesn't have one this month, and I believe he doesn't have an extra base hit off the top of my head this month.
I think he has one double.
Okay.
This month.
My bad. There's one double.
No, but so the question becomes, will he be able to correct it? I'm not trying to make a medical diagnosis on Kyle Tucker, but injury or not, something is simply not right right now.
Not for this long. Yeah. But ideally, on a team that has, as we mentioned, an offensively diverse lineup, other players pick him up. Is that easier said than done? Yes. Do other players like, say, a Suzuki perhaps get pitched to differently because of the threat, the real threat of Kyle Tucker getting on base? Yes. How much is PCA affected by this? You know, there's that part of it too. But I understand they're going to tell us things that sometimes we don't want to hear. But I need it to make sense. And right now, all I am seeing are the results of that quote play out in a way that is not just losing you the division, it's putting you in jeopardy of whether or not you're going to get a wild card. No, and if that's the case, if we're talking about a wild card and it's a one and done, was trading for Tucker a success at all?
Yeah, I don't think you can say Kyle Tucker acquisition was a success if they just simply get in as the one of the last two wild cards and then get just eliminated without getting to the division series.
Was make the wild card the goal at the beginning of the season?
No. No. Making a run in the playoffs was the goal at the beginning of the season. Being a World Series contender was the goal at the beginning of the season. And they're still a World Series contender by standard operating procedure as far as you got to get in it to win it. They're going to be in it. It's just, can they turn this offensive around between now and the end of September? That's the question.
And here's the thing, too, is people always say, oh, look at how many games they are above 500. Yes, you don't get trophies for that.
There's no President's Trophy in baseball like there is in hockey?
There's no above 500 trophy either. You know, that is not the goal. The goal and the comparison becomes what you're doing against the teams who did make moves. And maybe say it's not even the Brewers. Trying to figure out if you're now trying to question where you are in a wild card scenario, what you did versus the Padres, for example. What you did versus the Reds, who you've respected all season long.
Respect is still there because they ain't gone away yet.
But that's it. You know, there are teams where you say sometimes, I don't know what they're doing because they're buyers suddenly. But then there are teams who perhaps didn't buy enough.
We'll see what happens because right now it's not a pretty picture being painted by the Cubs.
Here's my issue. We've seen what is happening. This segment was brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.